Bay 2A, and Malibu Sea Level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. Alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty NTOC 420 degrees Fahrenheit. Deep a sin flood of stadiums out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel the spirit of the bees? Is it working? Is it coming through the radio?
I'm pounding on my pulpit.
Oh, yeah. That's what that was.
He's awake, so I can pound on my pulpit.
All right.
Try not to wake her up.
You have a pulpit?
I have a pulpit.
He has a bully pulpit.
I do. And it's directed at faux libertarians who everyone likes that are stupid.
And bad audio. Man.
Jeremy's lying in a field doing the show with headphones on with his wireless laptop with a G4 unit plugged into a USB stick, wearing headphones, using his $50 microphone in the middle of a field full of crickets and rattlesnakes, and he's not tripping. Maybe. And lightning.
Can you hear the roar of the crickets?
can you hear the roar of your DNA? Hey.
It's my cheering section, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, what's up, man? Yeah. Yeah.
Usually hearing crickets is a bad thing.
Hello.
Yeah. The Freedom Beans is covered by BibCot, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BibCot.org.
Dot orgy. That's, Dennis keeps making up this new domain thing.
Orgies.
Yeah. I'm hearing an echo. You guys hear an echo?
No.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay. It's only in my end.
Yeah. It's definitely in your head.
It's the roar of my nervous system. You know, if you're in an anechoic chamber and you're, you know, one of those like, oh, I'm sure you've seen them in science fiction movies. There's big rooms that are where I want to live. One of those big rooms that no sound can get in and they don't echo at all. You know, they use them for like testing jet engines and microphones and spy devices. You know those things?
Sure.
You ever see a picture of them? They're like lined with giant, you know, pointy, like foam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been told that if you're in the middle of one of those, you hear two sounds after a while of being in there. You finally hear two really quiet sounds. One's low and one's high. And the low one is your blood coursing through your veins. And the high one is your nervous system.
Trippy.
Whoa.
So how's them crickets in that field there?
I know. Well, I know where I'm going next time.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be weird. Like sensory deprivation, but only one sensory deprivated.
I've always wanted to do that stuff. Not necessarily that one, but like the tanks, the flotation tanks.
The DMT and the flotation tanks?
Well, it doesn't have to be with DMT.
Like Eleven in Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
I heard him wrong, and I took DDT and went into the tank.
Oh.
DDT?
I snorted some DDT.
That'll ruin your weekend.
Hey kid, want to buy some DDT? So Nick, young Nick.
Sure, that sounds real good.
My adopted son, Nick Hazelton.
He's not so young anymore.
I know, he's 18. I'm bored with him now that he's an adult. I'm kidding. He's great. It was fun having a 14-year-old and molding him without ever having to like meet him or, you know, hear his tantrums, be able to hang up on him. It's fun.
Tantrums.
Yeah.
Did you ever have to hang up on Nick?
No, but I didn't send him a birthday present because I've been sending him presents for years, like all the time, like my hand-me-down computers and microphones and clothes.
Well, sure, but see that's the type of thing I talk about because I've talked about this before. I don't really recognize birthdays. I think they're silly traditions, but you should give people stuff all the time if you want to give them stuff just randomly.
Yeah.
So you've done well with your protege.
But I won't turn anything down for my birthday. Port-a-potty, just saying.
Your port-a-potty.
If you want to give me something for my birthday, I won't turn it down.
I know. Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Just another day. Just happens to be my birthday. Give me a present.
Yeah. I know. It's like Halloween. My, you know, I have a problem with Halloween, and it's not the problem that Christians have with Halloween. Some Christians think it's a devil's day, and you know, I don't live in Detroit, so
don't ask
people
me.
People don't burn down houses on Halloween the night before where I live. But the problem I have with Halloween is it teaches socialism, and it teaches like it also kind of teaches like mugging, you know, like. Like, basically, the social contract of Halloween is give me stuff because I say so, or I'll do something to your property.
Right, trick or treat.
Yeah. Damn kids. So, yeah.
See, I never thought of it that way. That's pretty horrible.
I've heard it described that way before. Yeah.
You never thought of that, Jeremy?
No.
Really?
I mean... I trick-or-treated when I was younger. I gave it up after a while, and I only started it again because of my kids, so I never really gave it all that much thought. But instead of theft, wouldn't it be more like home invasion? Where did we just travel to?
That's Count Basie. So,
did the lightning storm take it back to the 40s? Sinatra. What's going on?
That's Sinatra. It's 1965, man. Come on. Get hip, you hep cats, you not hep cat. That's Count Basie with Frank Sinatra.
Right on.
Listen, check it out, man. Because Sunday, the magical day we're
Sunday,
talking about.
Sunday.
Yeah, that everyone should stay home and be near the internet. Maybe. Sunday. We'll see how it goes. It's Count Basie's birthday. Yeah.
Cool.
I love you.
Wow. I'm certainly not going to celebrate somebody's birthday I don't know over somebody's that I do.
Yeah, well,
you're not making the case any better for this birthday thing.
Well, you ever seen Blazing Saddles? He's in Blazing Saddles.
Movie. Oh, is he?
Yeah, yeah. You know when the black sheriff rides into town with his Gucci bags and looking all classy, yes. And he rides across the desert and you hear this music and he pulls back and there's this like 32-piece orchestra on the desert in tuxedos.
Oh, yeah,
that's the Count Basie Orchestra.
Oh,
give me five. Yeah, now you know who he is.
Well, now I do.
Here it is.
I've probably come across him before, but that's recognizable to me because I've seen that movie, you know, at least a dozen times.
Yeah, this is the scene. See? Can you see?
I totally see it.
Totally. In my mind's
there,
eye,
man.
I
I'm
see
there.
It. Yep.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Nick. Riding the town on your yak.
Happy birthday, Nick.
Yeah, I'm still not going to say it.
This makes me want to smoke and snap my fingers and wear dark shades. And
it's not really that kind of jazz.
Well, okay, whatever.
At all.
Okay.
No. It's not beatnik jazz, man. It's big band, basically.
Okay. Then wear my hair in like a bouffant or something.
Not even. Not even.
Okay, fine. I give up then.
Yeah. No, you want some real heroin jazz. I'll find you some real heroin jazz.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 So
we're doing a... we're going to talk for a minute about LRN.FM, one of the networks we're on. What's up, Diana? Tell us.
So they're striving to expand LRN.FM satellite coverage to Europe, and they have an Indiegogo campaign. They are hoping to raise $25,000 in the next 3 days. They have 3 days left, and so if you'd like to expand Liberty to Europe, then I highly suggest you go on to www.indiegogo.com/projects/fanLRN. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we'll put the link on the show notes.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
What else you got? Tell me about government. What do you guys think of government, Jerry?
It stinks. I hate it. Boo.
Yeah.
I was just going to say on the LRN thing, I think this is a worthy cause because at least based on just the numbers I've seen from like my podcast and a couple other podcasts that I can track, there's a lot of support for our type of ideas coming from different countries in Europe. So getting the message out there to more people is can only help. So send money, people. Hashtag please donate.
Yeah.
So government.
Yeah, and you and you get and there are perks for different. For different donation levels. So like for if you just donate $10, you get a Rebel's Journey package from radio host Daryl Perry. And he's offered a package including the audio, PDF, and ebook versions of the book A Rebel's Journey for $10. And so yeah, for you know different perks for different donation levels. The higher you go, the better the perk. If you give $3,000, you get to sit in during one of the productions, during one of the show productions.
You can sit under my bully pulpit while I pound it and hide from my wrath.
So, yeah. So please give.
Okay, here's some more like heroin bebop. This is Miles Davis, Kind of Blue.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Takes me back to when I was in the village in 65 shooting smack with Hubert Selby and Amiri and Leroy Jones before he became Amiri Baraka. Yeah.
When you were a year old.
Yeah, when I was shooting heroin with Hubert Selby Jr., with Cubby Selby back in the village. Yeah, when I was a year old.
That's a little advanced for that age, don't you think?
I've always been ahead of my time.
Yeah.
Yep. There we go. No more putting it through the microphone.
Spectacular.
We'll be back after this trip to the East Village in 1965.
Meow.
Meow.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
It's so confusing.
It's a cacophony.
Jazz cat.
Oh, jazz cats, like from Aristocats. Remember that? That made a movie, The Jazz Cats.
Yep. So,
we used to say my cat would invite the jazz cats over whenever we, like, went out somewhere.
We're listening to Music to Die by Miles Davis. Music to Shoot Drugs By. So, how did this lady die? Let's bury the lead. Jump to the end. How'd she die? Was it heroin?
Lethal injection.
Of what? Probably something better than what they do in the prisons. They don't let you just take a bunch of opiates to kill you in prisons. They
all the article says is that it was a lethal combination of drugs prescribed by her doctor, and that's actually one of the requirements.
Yeah.
That it has to be doctor assisted.
Okay, we're talking about the lady who threw a suicide party, invited all her friends because suicide's legal now if you're really sick and meet a bunch of, and of course they put a bunch of criteria on it, including like that you have to be of sound mind and have 6 months left to live. What if you have 7 months left to live? Although they can't really know exactly how much you have left to live.
Right, exactly.
What if you have 2 years left to live and you are in constant excruciating pain? But no, the government doesn't want you.
You don't fit the criteria then, Michael.
Right. Yeah.
And the whole adult thing too is so messed up. Like, why can't somebody who's not considered it, like somebody who's 16, whose parents are okay with it, who's like dying of some horrible disease, can't do it either? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those real progressives out there in California.
They'll let you kill babies all
day. They'll
let you kill babies all day long. But
exactly.
Yeah.
And isn't there places that suicide is actually like, well, for the most part, suicide is illegal, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Let me comment on my comment there about they'll let you kill babies all day long. I think abortion should be legal up to the 54th trimester for Nick. But
54th trimester.
But there's no way you can tell me it's not killing a person, you know? No way.
Right.
I mean, you could argue months and weeks, but you could get legal abortions of babies that, I don't know. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm going to say
that's a whole other can of worms right there.
I'm going to say it's pretty interesting that progressives, you know, will let you take the life of an unborn child with impunity, with like, you know, it's like renting a keg of beer. It's about as complicated. But if you're an adult in excruciating pain, you have to get you have to jump through a bunch of painful hoops to be able to legally die. You know,
right?
Suicide. Wyoming has the highest suicide rate per capita of any state, and it's partially because this place is really barren.
I was going to say, it's from boredom.
Yeah.
From boredom.
But it's
they need
also
to go to Jackson Hole. Quit killing yourself and go to Jackson Hole.
That's like dirty. That's like.
That sounds
that's,
very
that's hanging
wrong.
That's hanging words where I live. You ever been to Jackson Hole?
No, I just know it's good for skiing and stuff. And then, of course, there are the Grand Tetons.
I've been to Jackson Hole. Beautiful.
Yeah.
First of all, you're saying go to where Dick Cheney lives.
Oh,
it's
God.
Cool.
Never mind.
And
way
like,
to go, Diana.
The area around Jackson.
Don't
like
do
Jackson,
that.
Jackson Hole is basically a resort in Jackson.
Yeah, right.
And it's, you cannot smoke in Jackson Hole.
What?
Yep. And it's totally like a playground for the rich. And it's a like really controlled environment. It's not Wyoming, man.
Yeah, it's,
I mean,
just
it is,
how little I know about
it's beautiful,
it, I guess.
But yeah, it's
go to
really,
Yellowstone. And wait for the caldera to explode. There you go.
Yeah. The coal what?
Caldera.
The caldera.
The active volcano that I live near.
Oh, I didn't know that's what the name of it was. Okay.
Yeah, caldera.
And you and I would pretty much die instantly, Michael, if that happened.
I'd die before you. You'd die about a half hour later.
Yeah, half hour.
Actually, it depends. I mean, on the eruption. It, not necessarily. We would be choking on soot in the air, and our cars would be covered with 18 inches of... My daughter lived pretty near... Was it Mount Rainier? What was the one? No, what was
Mount
the one
St. Helens?
Yeah,
Or Mount Hood? Are you talking about the... Are you talking about the actual one that, like, that erupted?
Yeah.
Mount St.
Yeah,
Helens.
Yeah, when she was a little kid. Yeah, like, her mom's car was, like, covered with, like, a foot of soot.
Yeah.
And they were not, you know, they were hours away, drive away.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and they lived. So don't curse me to death if that active volcano gets
more active. But that's a big difference between Mount St. Helens and the Yellowstone caldera. That's a huge
Yellowstone
difference
is
right
huge.
There.
I mean, it's like it's like a
huge.
Great lake.
Huge.
It's
huge.
Not really a great lake, but it's large. Stop speaking in Trump speak.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of going to Liberty events only to meet higher fees and diminishing attendance? Is it troubling that your banners have to be approved by the Libertarian central planners? Are you tired of seeing your friends physically removed because they said something edgy? Hey, that's none of my business. Then you should check out the Jackalope Freedom Festival night event at Baca Meadows in the cooler part of northern Arizona. Meet Liberty activists, listen to talks, Have a beer with Hoppy. Score some free Freedom Fiends merchandise. Camp under the stars and fight the state with delicious Navajo tacos. And the best part is that there's no fees or libertarian general scrutinizes. Check out jackalopefreedomfestival.com for more information and directions. Runs from August 1st through 8th. That's jackalopefreedomfestival.com.
Alphabet on the wall and strings of the Christmas lights and everything. There's a link here Jim Jesus posted, and it says I've been able to make out roads and bridges so far, and I think you can make it say basically whatever you want it to say. In some cases, I think that some people have had it say, is taxation theft, or taxation is theft, or lots of different things. It's kind of cool, though. I like that.
Interesting.
Neato. It's neato.
Hey, welcome back to Smooth Jazz.
Welcome to Station
98.5.
KLSD.
Roads and Bridges.
Welcome to Station KLSD. We'll be up all night playing the smoothest jazz. This is Miles Davis going all the way back to 1965 with the album Kinda Blue. Are you feeling kinda blue? Then give us a call at 1-800-666-KLSD.
KLSD.
Yeah.
Now I want to call that and see what happens.
I know.
It's probably the NSA.
Whoever you call, it's the NSA, so that's really not...
Yeah, that's true. I really like that that saying. The NSA, the only part of the government that actually listens to you.
Yeah.
So
sad,
you guys had a topic about right to die.
Yeah, we were talking about that in the last segment. It's from an article.
Yeah, I didn't finish what I was saying, too. Okay, I got sidetracked.
All right, well, fine.
Have your article ready. I'm going to throw to you.
It's right here.
You just step it all over me tonight, woman.
First, we don't talk enough. Now we talk too much. Make up your mind, man.
Yeah, you got to talk the right amount in the right way.
And don't argue with Michael. He's the showrunner.
So... Wyoming has the highest per capita rate of suicide, and I think a lot of it too, other than it being a boring place that's incredibly windy and cold, I think it's also that just like there's a lot of old people here, and I think that they get tired of being old and sick and tired and in pain, and you know, there's no legal way for a doctor to hand them something to do it calmly in their sleep, so they use a gun, go out to the barn, and you know, when I was a kid, did you guys live in small towns or big towns? Did you live in the town you're in now, Jeremy?
No, I grew up in a town of less than 200 people in the mountains of Pennsylvania.
How about
so
you,
yeah,
Diana?
Small town.
Well, I lived all over the place since my dad was in the Air Force, but mostly small-ish towns. Yeah.
All right. So I don't know if Diana will have an answer for this, because this is kind of a question about for people who've lived and grew up in the same small town. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a small town of 3,000 people, upstate New York. And when I was a kid, two people in families we knew killed themselves with a gun. And it was, like, shocking to the town. Did you guys remember anything like that from when you were a kid?
I had a friend who killed himself. He'd been I'd lived in actually the same small town for about 14 years after my parents divorced and everything. And it was a kid I went to high school with, and he'd been in a really bad car wreck, actually with my boyfriend. But this guy, though, he was injured horribly and he caused brain damage and everything. And he eventually, put a gun in his mouth and pulled the trigger. It was really sad. Yeah. So, and I think it happened fairly frequently in that town. People killed themselves. Yeah, this was a small, boring town.
There was a guy, it was my mother's hairdresser's husband, went out to the barn and blew his brains out with a shotgun. And he was really, really, really in debt. I think he was depressed about that. And then there was this kid that he was like from a kind of rich family. He was kind of like the really dark sheep in the family. Like the whole family, all the kids were dark sheep and weird and cool. But this guy was like the really dark sheep. I met him like once. He was a friend of my sister's. He got really nutty, and he actually like it was during his senior year, and he said he got so nutty. Like they told him the last month or two of school, like, stop coming to school, we'll mail you your diploma.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah. Whoa. And you're like, forget about the finals, forget about the exams, just go home, we'll mail you your diploma. And he started talking to a few friends saying that he was going to show up at graduation with a rifle and shoot everybody. And which is like, that was back when like people didn't say things like that. It wasn't, you know, mass shootings weren't common and school shootings weren't common. Except in Texas, right. But but when during graduation, he never showed up at graduation. But during graduation, there were like state troopers on the roof of the school with rifles, like scoped deer rifles.
Wow.
Yeah, like that was kind of a precursor to like the police state. Like, you know, now you go anywhere there's a crowd to celebrate anything, you're literally in someone's sights. Like, dance, slaves, dance! It's New Year's Eve at New York City. You know. But he later killed himself, and he was my friend Grant's cousin. Grant was the guy I used to smoke pot with and listen to Dark Side of the Moon about 2 years after it came out in 1976 when I was 14, 15, 16, 12. And this guy, I can't remember his name, something Beckman, John Beckman. No, John is his brother, it's still alive. I can't remember the Beckman who killed himself, but he killed himself at his house, and Grant found him and like... kept part of his brains.
Oh my God! What?
And then took him out to the woods where they used to smoke pot and buried it like a piece of his skull and some of his brains. But
whoa.
Yeah,
that's but, weird.
That's hardcore. Yeah.
I wish you were tripping, Jeremy. This would be a lot more fun.
I don't know if I'd want to hear this story when I was tripping.
I know.
All right. So we were going to read a news story. This has been like a 40-minute introduction to a news story about... That's going to be anticlimactic, probably, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what we just talked about was pretty depressing, but this, to me, is actually sort of... In a way, it's kind of life-affirming. You know, despite the fact that government has prevented yeah. a lot of people from yeah. doing this for, you know, a long, long time. Finally, California passed a law, said that it's okay, but you have to meet all of these requirements, and we kind of went over those... in the last segment, or maybe the segment before that, I'm not sure. But it's the title of it is a dying woman throws a party for 30 guests and kills herself at the end. And
sounds like a romance novel.
Yeah, and so this woman who her name is Betsy Davis, and she had been diagnosed with ALS, otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease, in 2013, and it's incurable. Stephen Hawking has it and has managed to survive a really long time with it, which I find amazing. But
lots of money will do that for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's a horrible disease. You just basically deteriorate slowly, and you maintain your mind. Like your mind doesn't go, but your body goes all around your mind. So you know, eventually you're pretty much immobile. But anyway, so she invited 30 of her closest friends and family to a party, and basically just like, let's just do all the fun stuff that I love to do, and let's eat all the good food that I love to eat, and let's love and enjoy each other. And but nobody was allowed to cry in front of her. ultimately at the end of the evening. And, you know, as required by California law, there was a doctor there that administered a lethal dose of drugs. It doesn't say exactly what drugs they are, but apparently there's a combination of them. And she, a few hours later, she finally died. And but I think, I mean, if that's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I would do that, but I definitely respect somebody's decision to do that for sure.
Why not go out with a bang like that, especially if you know there's not much else you can do and you're not willing to keep suffering like that, then why not?
Yeah.
I mean, so, it said, oh, I was so, gonna say
that she watched her last sunset And I just like, I mean, I don't know, for some reason that just gives me cold chills, like to think about that, you know, this is your last sunset, like, you know, for sure. And wow, I mean, it, I don't know. It goes to many different levels for me when I think about that.
Well, because it automatically makes you think of your own mortality.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, well, yeah, but, you know, like you said, I mean, she tried to make it fun. It was a whole weekend thing. And what did they say? They, you know, they, everybody, you know, they got her favorite pizza delivered to the house. Uh-huh, they watched her favorite movies. And,
yeah.
and then she had, like, she was giving away souvenirs to everybody and said, here you go.
Well, she's an artist, and she was allowing people to, that everybody could take a piece of art that she had done with them when they left. And, you know, I don't know, it's kind of beautiful. Like I said, I do think it's life affirming. I think it's like she took it into her own hands. She took control of how and when she would die. And I don't know. I appreciate that a lot. So many would disagree, I think, but.
I'm with you on it. I can appreciate it, but also, like you said, I don't know if I could do that. Not just because, I mean, if I was in that situation, I think I'd just want to go and get it over with. I don't think I'd want to.
That's it. Like to think about it as a healthy person, you know. It's really scary, but to be that sick, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I'm sure. Given you put yourself in that situation, okay, fine. I may change my mind.
Yeah.
I hope I don't have to deal with that anytime soon, though.
Yeah, me too.
Not quite ready to go.
I'm not ready for you to go either.
Aww. Gee, okay. Thanks.
What's up? Huh? What did I miss?
Nothing, Michael.
Talking about the article.
We're talking about how neither of us wants me to die. So
I don't want any of my friends to die. And, you know, I hope I didn't bum anyone out with all that. Like, you know, I was just really good.
We didn't make it any
better
after you left. So,
okay. I was just basically talking about how, like, when someone kills themselves in a small town, it rocks the community. Whereas, like, in a big city, it happens all day, every day. And the only people who care are the people that, you know, are really close to them.
Yeah. Because when you asked that before, I was trying to think, and I don't remember any suicides, but I do remember, like, people dying and like kids, like, in my school, and it being a big deal because it was such a small town. So either way, it's like, yeah, well, same thing. When there's
it's a little bit bigger deal when a kid dies too than say an old person. So.
Well, we never specified when this woman, but other suicides. I mean, what was the other people we're talking about were teenagers, weren't they? I don't know. I'll figure that out. We'll talk about it when we get back from the market or something.
Yeah.
Worms.
Yeah.
Worms.
Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
they took a vacation. Anyway.
But here it comes.
Yeah.
Meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Meow,
meow. Meow, meow.
Meow, meow. So, voting is humiliating. So, there's this guy named Stefan Molyneux who's embarrassing.
Who's that?
This guy that people used to like that now is an idiot. He's a guy who used to be a good libertarian and now, like, okay,
good
so...
Good libertarian. Good
here's this the meme. This explains it all. There's a meme going around of him. It's... On the left, it's a picture of him looking kind of calm. And it says, and I don't know if he actually said this, but I could totally hear him having said this in the distant past. It's him saying, voting only encourages participation in a coercive and destructive system. It is giving your sanction to evil. Changing the president changes nothing about the system. You and I have the pride not to subjugate ourselves to this pathetic, enslaving ritual. And then the right side, the left side says, at first I was like, and it's that. And the right side, he looks insane and says, but then I was all, it's the brown people. Vote for Trump. Which is kind of how he's changed over time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, I remember when I first started down this path of voluntarism and anarchism and whatnot.
Libertarianism.
He was one of the first people I listened to. And I definitely appreciated a lot of that kind of stuff that he said. What in the world?
Yeah. So I don't want to talk about him. But this is just kind of cueing into a really short discussion about. So I kind of, when I came to liberty, you know, at first I was like one of those, get involved in the system and vote, you know, libertarian people into office, and like
change quickly realized,
like, yeah, like realized that would never happen. But even at that point, like once I'd kind of internalized voluntarism, but still was like, well, I'll become the Wyoming chair of the Republican Liberty Caucus and try to make things good. The one time I went to vote after that, like the last time my wife and I voted was, I don't know, like 6 years ago, probably. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was in a local, like, you know, not a national election. It was like state reps and sheriff and thing, you know, the ones that people say, well, you know, that can still make a difference. And like, not usually, but, but I felt dirty leaving voting. I was like,
and I
didn't really know why until yesterday when I saw this fake or real Stefan Molyneux quote from back when he was good of you and I have the pride not to subjugate ourselves to this pathetic enslaving ritual that kind of nails it. Like,
yeah, it does.
And that's kind of his cult speak too. Like, oh, you, all the collective, you, the listeners are all as smart as me. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. But
philosopher kings.
Yeah. If you pay enough, you're smart as me.
Right.
So, that nails it. Like, I have pride not to subjugate myself to that pathetic enslaving ritual. There's three reasons I don't vote. One is it encourages evil. And really, it's like, it doesn't change anything not to vote. Like, that's a big argument that minarchists give libertarians on the internet. Like, oh, you're never going to change anything by not voting. And it's like, of course we're not. But it's like,
that's not the point.
That's not the point.
Yeah. It's having your side of the street clean, and you can't do anything about the rest of the world.
Right.
But it's also, you know, a waste of time to go vote. And it also doesn't change anything. And it's also rigged. So there's like four reasons I don't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that about covers it. There's really no reason to.
For me, it's attempting to use the state to enforce my will on other people.
That's one of
my reasons for not voting as well.
I'm gonna send you this picture of Molyneux to use in memory of the guy who said adults who meow, making fun of us. The guy who yelled at me and got insane because I said Trump. You know, Molyneux backs Trump. And he said, no, he doesn't. He never said to vote for him. But he hadn't quite then, but he was, like, supportive of him. And now he's actually telling people to vote for him. So I was right, but in the future, dude from Canada. All right.
Hashtag adult team meow. Meow.
Yeah, meow.
Meow, meow.
Yeah.
Arms.
Yeah. It's called the show title, Voting is Embarrassing.
It is. It really is. I'm so sorry for you people that vote.
Yeah.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Worms, worms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Worms, worms. All right, cool. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. Doing a little segment with you. Here we go. Jazz on jazz. You ever play jazz on jazz?
Jazz on jazz. I don't know what that is.
You don't? Well, it's actually a skit on, God, what was it on? It was on Parks and Rec. There's a scene where that horrible... What?
Oh, what's his name? Duke Silver or whatever? Like Ron Swanson?
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. Oh. No, it was when the blonde politician lady goes on the local like public NPR affiliate to be interviewed about some politics thing. And either before or after she's on, I think it's right before there's a DJ who's actually played by the guy from who plays the bass player in Spinal Tap. What's his name? He's also does a lot of voice on The Simpsons.
Oh, Harry Shearer? No.
Harry Shearer. Yeah, it's Harry Shearer. Yeah. So he's doing this thing called Jazz on Jazz, where he's playing like what I'm about to do, which is like, welcome to Jazz on Jazz, and we're listening to... John Coltrane plays the blues from 1962. And now at the same time, I'm also going to play Miles Davis and John Coltrane from Live in New York. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, jazz on jazz, man. Beautiful thing, man. So
I had no idea you were such a jazz fan.
I like jazz. I mean, I don't own a bunch of jazz vinyl, but I like jazz. And I'm not a jazz aficionado. I don't know a crap load about it, but I can tell
no more 40s, than I do.
40s big band from 60s bebop. You know, geez, can't you?
No, I can't, apparently.
And this is like 2 60s bebop records at the same time. Kind of some bebop and some free jazz, but yeah, so.
All right. Well, I just found out on Facebook about apparently a new, I don't know if it's new, but just found out about it, a resort in Colorado. Despite the fact that weed is legal in Colorado, for the most part, you can't smoke it in public, but this is like a resort where you go, and it's called Aspen Canyon Ranch Bud and Breakfast.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
I want to go.
They do have a good tourist industry.
I want to go to there.
True.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I've not gone. I don't like the weeds. Now I'm just playing Miles Davis and John Coltrane live in New York. I'm not doing jazz on jazz. I'm just doing jazz. But, you know, there's
talk
a church.
About weed.
Yeah. If it's, smoke some reefers with the Negro jazz musicians.
They have a way. They have a wake and bake breakfast. They have a 420 happy hour. They have horseback riding and goat petting. And
that's exactly what I want to do. I want to get high and pet goats. So that sounds spectacular.
One of the angriest of all farm animals, small farm animals.
Yeah, they bite a lot.
Geese.
One of them tried to eat one of my daughter's coats one of the first times we took him to the petting zoo.
Oh,
Daddy,
that's funny.
Daddy, this Pokemon's mean.
This Pokemon's mean.
Come on. So there used to be since we're doing jazz on jazz, I'm going to play John Coltrane, A Love Supreme, over Miles Davis and John Coltrane.
There it goes.
Live in New York. So since we're imitating public radio, why don't you do public radio voice, Diana, and do a fun drive for LRN, for an actual fun drive for what we're on. Go ahead.
This is Diana, the Laughing Kitty, and we are on the Freedom.
It's a little too energetic. I think.
I'm thinking about Delicious Dish from Saturday Night Live.
Pete Schwetty's balls.
Yeah. Schwetty balls. And yeah. We have a fundraiser going on now for LRN.FM to expand their satellite coverage to Europe. And it's,
that's a little too energetic.
A little too energetic. So really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gosh, I guess I can't help it.
Yeah. Be depressed, anyway. Diana. Be depressed.
Be depressed. It's an Indiegogo campaign. And we will have the link in the show notes. If you'll please go to www.indiegogo.com/projects/expand.
No, just LRN give out the LRN one. That's what it is. Fund, FUND.LRN.FM. Nobody.
Oh, that's true.
Nobody is going to type in backslash. You sound like a radio ad from the 1996s. Like, and log on to the World Wide Web.
Well, that's what they would say.
http://www.earthlink.net. Tilde, and the tilde is it's the character in the upper left corner. You have to hit the shift key and then the upper left key. It's a tilde. It's the thing that looks Mexican. And then
that's how they sound on your local NPR radio. That's how they sound.
Kittyfeet.com.
That's racist.
That was my first web address. It was
I know, but
earthlink.net/tildekittyfeet. Yeah,
which I could never log on to because at work anyway. Because
it's
porn.
It's a porn site. Yeah, you can't log on to it for McDonald's either. So now we're listening to some Chet Baker. Chet Baker shot a bunch of dope and fell out a window. Man, these jazz bows. Yeah,
that's gonna leave a mark.
The autopsy found heroin and cocaine in his body. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I always think I could fly when I do a speedball. And listen to jazz. All right, so, you know, do you guys remember the, what's the, hang on a sec. Yes, do it, Brian. Do it.
Got that.
Do it. I'm sending emails over the radio. Do it, do it, do it. All right. So, yeah. Did you guys ever hear that insult comic dog? What's his name?
Triumph,
the insult comic dog. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really goofy, stupid thing back in the day, but either the writing's gotten better or I've gotten stupider. But no, the writing's gotten better.
Why not both?
I think both. But I think it's all like improvised by the hand up the dog's bum, which is Robert Smigel, who used to do the cartoons on Saturday Night Live.
It absolutely is, yes.
Yeah, yeah, like the president, what is it, the ex-presidents? Or the living ex-presidents. Or like the crime
Saturday TV
team.
Fun House.
Yeah.
Saturday
TV Fun House.
Fun House. TV Fun House.
And Fun with Real Audio, where he would take like recordings of speeches of politicians and then like dub them in doing really even crazier things while they're doing it. Yeah.
And the Ambiguously Gay Duo.
Yes, the Ambiguously Gay Duo. Which I think one of the voices on that was Colbert before the Colbert Show.
Oh, right.
Was it?
Yeah. So if you want to check up on him, if you haven't thought about him in 25 years, or you're not old and you don't know who he is, but you've seen Triumph, go check him out. Search Triumph, the insult comic dog, on YouTube. There's a lot of videos up there that are recent of him going to the DNC and the RNC. And like, you know, like in one, he's Debbie Wasserman Schultz and he's, you know, like puts noodles on the dogs, on the dog puppets' heads and says, sure. But he just slays the left and the right. He doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
You know, he doesn't pick sides really. He's horrible to both. And it's funny. And he actually, there was one where he's like, you know, I can't do the dog's voice, but it's basically right. George Burns. It's an old style like,
with a cigar. He's got a cigar.
Yeah. What's the place where the comics used to go in the Adirondacks?
The Catskills.
The Borch Belt. Yeah, the Borch Belt. Yeah. He's, you know, he's like a smutty, like an old school like 50s insult comic with a cigar from the Catskills. Like he's basically George Burns, but he's a dog. So. And nobody says that. Nobody's compared him to George Burns, but I know it's. I know he's thinking George Burns.
The last time I saw him, the last video I saw of him, he was at the like some college in New Hampshire, might have been University of New Hampshire, and he was
hilarious,
ripping into the social justice warrior. Yeah, safe
he had a
space
room full
kids.
Of students.
Yeah,
he's just like, I mean, they were like melpy and had no backbone and like wouldn't say.
Right.
You know, they basically had like a black guy run through the room and then a police sketch artist come in and say that was a criminal. Describe him. And like nobody would say black or African American.
Right.
Yeah, he was a large man with a purple scarf, and it was like a big flaming, like flamingly gay, like hi everybody, running through the room. So, and they wouldn't say gay, but the dog was making fun of him for it. I liked it. Yeah. So he did a thing where he said, you know, I asked all the Republican candidates. He kind of sounds like Peter Lorre too.
Yeah, he does.
I asked all the Republican candidates to grant me an interview, and one said yes. And then it shows the Huckabee bus.
Oh God.
And Huckabee was a really good sport about it, but I actually heard the first ever gun grabber joke that made me spit coffee laughing. Like, I've never laughed at a gun grabber jokes. I like guns. I hate gun grabbers. Their anti-gun grabbing humor is never funny. But this was really funny. He said, I'm meeting Huckabee today to do a sit down with him at a local gun range, or as mass murderers call it, the gym. That was an indoor gun range. Yeah. The gym. That's funny, man. I couldn't believe a gun grabbing joke made me spit coffee laughing. I thought it was so funny, man.
Or is that is pretty funny. Call it
the gym. Yeah. So yeah, go check out the dog.
Yeah,
the dog
I'm gonna have to go, man. I'm gonna have to go check those out. I remember Triumph from like a decade or so, right?
Yeah, I didn't even know he was still around.
Like two, man.
Yeah,
was it really that long ago?
Yeah.
I really have no concept of time. Like, it's
Robert Schmeigel. Yeah, the only person he actually didn't slay was this like 96-year-old World War II vet that was in a wheelchair that his son was pushing around the Republican convention. And he actually went up to him and said, like, I want to thank you for your service for killing those Nazis, because without you, my parents would be dead, and the creepy Jew with his hand up my butt wouldn't be here. That was funny. That was funny, man.
That is funny.
I actually allowed that. I was like, okay, that's a good thank you for your service. Like, the creepy Jew with the...
With his hand up my
tuchus. Yeah, was it? Tuchus.
Yeah, he said tuchus? Oh,
I said tuchus because it's a borscht belt comedian. Yeah.
That's funny.
Back. This trip to the jazz market. Use jazz on vinyl with Jim Jesus. Jim, you got jazz on vinyl? Jim,
whichever we get to first.
You gonna murder Jim?
Oh, yes. That's exactly what
You're
I said.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Is spreading the message of liberty and peace around the globe worth 15 cents per day to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. Last year, we did a fundraiser that successfully covered the costs of continuing our African channel. This year, we're hoping to raise enough to fund a new satellite signal that will cover Europe, North Africa, and much of the Middle East. You can donate as much or as little as you like via the Indiegogo campaign at fund.lrn.fm. And there are perks available like sitting in on your favorite LRN.fm show, exclusive shiny badges, or even naming a satellite channel. Please contribute now at fund.lrn.fm and help us continue our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. The fundraiser ends August 19th, so please visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. That's fund.lrn.fm.
And this is the Freedom Fiends, and we're back. And turns out that there are signals that have reached Alpha Centauri already may actually be be being heard by someone.
Yeah,
there,
it was I Love Lucy from the 50s, and they're like, man, right, we're not going anywhere near this planet. You ever seen the Futurama where, what's the planet that they always deal with there? I am Zor from the planet Zorkron, something Zircon Procii 8. Lur is his name. You know Lur?
Oh, yeah, Lur.
Yeah. There's one where they've been watching TV signals from Earth from decades back, and there's this show called Single Female Lawyer that Lur really likes. And then he finds out that it's ended, and they teleport, you know, go really fast somehow to Earth, to New York in the future. And like demand under penalty of death that the crew, our heroes, start writing and acting out new episodes of Single Female Lawyer for his amusement. And of course, Leela plays the single female lawyer, and she puts one of those fake stickly googly eyes on her head next to her cyclops eye to pull it off. And Zoidberg is directing. Yeah, talk about someone who's he's based on George Burns too, I think, man. He sounds like an old smutty old Jew from the Catskills from the 50s and 60s. Yeah.
Smutty.
I can say that. I'm 1/64th black. All right, so let's talk about this planet while we listen to some Chet Baker. Chet Baker was white, by the way, if you don't know that. If you can't tell by listening, he sounds black, but he's... I think they actually used him in a khakis commercial. He's really good looking. He kind of looks like James Dean. He was like a teen idol jazz musician, but he was a really good jazz musician too. But he looked like, you know, teen idol kind of guy. Until he did that fatal speedball and thought he could fly. I don't know if he thought he could fly. I think he was just sitting in the window and fell out.
Oh God.
Splat.
How unceremonious.
Not so pretty now, are you, Chet Baker? All right, so one of my great dreams is to see, this is my idea of a higher power. Like, I don't know if there's a god. I guess I'm a deist. I think, yeah, there's something, but it doesn't care much about my day-to-day business. Or, you know, the machinations of nations.
It's just, yeah. Nation machinations.
I think it's really just a number so long that I can't comprehend it. That's what God is. But
God is pi.
That's, well, in the movie Pi, there's a bunch of like
pi.
New York Jews in the movie Pi.
Oh, that's a crazy
Darren Aronofsky
movie.
Yeah,
man.
It's got a bunch of like. He's in my Selby movie. Yet. Did you know that? Bingo. But Darren Aronofsky, yeah, that there's a bunch of murderous rabbis who are trying to get the God number from somebody.
Yeah. But,
That's a number. That's a line too. You know, I like that line. It's a Marilyn Manson song. It's God is a number you cannot count to. So yeah, Chet Baker fell out a window. But one of my dreams is to see. This is working now. We had a rough start, but this is working. So one of my dreams.
I was confused by the jazz. The jazz confused me.
Really, it makes me think better, man. Yeah. Makes me think more clearly. So,
see, I need
one of my dreams.
Heavy
my
metal
dream,
does that for me. So.
My higher power. Well, me too. Especially that Marilyn Manson album, Mechanical Animals, which is kind of metal-y, which has that line, God is a number you can't count to. But, yeah. So, anyway, my idea of a higher power is that we're going to get saved by ultra intelligent people from Alpha Centauri 4.3 light years away who are going to hear the Freedom Fiends and go, finally, intelligent life from that planet come down here and either take us there or give us their state blocking software and hardware so we can have libertarian paradise here on Earth. I don't want to move to Somalia or Alpha Centauri.
Will that involve helmets?
Probably.
The state blocking. I don't know if I want to wear a helmet all the time.
Yeah.
Well,
Helmet's a good metal band, sort of metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all the time, my head sweats a lot. Come on, man.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Office of Dream when we get back from this trip to the market. What do you guys think? Where'd the jazz go?
I don't know.
Jazz back.
Aren't you in charge of the jazz?
I am in charge of the jazz, but yeah. Here's some bomb. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be back. The time is 12:28.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
Tainted love. Don't touch me, please. I cannot stand the way you tease.
Sing it, girl.
I love you, but you hurt me so.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pack my things and go.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are we talking about? What do you want to hear about? Elvis Duran, right?
Yeah.
That's where we left off, sure.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Now I gotta sing.
Yeah. Audio's not very good on this one.
Get away.
Yeah.
So Alpha Centauri.
Marilyn Manson's risky on the air. You gotta be careful.
I know. Well, that song's not bad.
No, that's a radio edit. Yeah, but. Okay. So Alpha Centauri. Talk about Alpha Centauri.
All right, so apparently there's an Earth-like exoplanet orbiting Proxima Centauri, which is part of the trinary star system, along with Alpha Centauri
trinary.
A and B.
It's a
trinary.
Word.
Yeah, it's a trinary system.
Yeah.
It's approximately 4.25 light years away, which is actually could be reached within a lifetime.
4.25,
yeah. Or 4.3.
Which means that light and radio waves get there in 4.25 years. And we've been on the radio for a little over 3 years, so. Yeah, and I think that they're going to be able to get here a lot quicker than that, though. I think they can climb through the wormhole. Yeah.
Well, they probably have teleportation units already, I mean.
Well, maybe they're here. Maybe they're among us. I think Diana's one of them.
I've always kind of felt like that, actually. If I am one of them, I wouldn't know consciously, but yeah. I don't feel like I belong here. I feel a little bit like Valentine Michael Smith, just a little bit.
Ooh, that's a nice reference.
Yeah, Stranger in a Strange Land.
Yeah,
Stranger in a Strange Land from Robert Heinlein. Stranger in a Strange Land. Yeah.
I read that book in the same hospital complex it takes place in.
Wow, really?
You know they put him in like the National Institute of Health hospital to examine him. Mm-hmm. I was in there doing a paid drug test. There's something called anti-steroids. I've never heard of it since, so I don't think it passed. I'm short.
Wow. Yeah, for some reason I didn't know that Marilyn Manson did some Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yep.
It's good. I like it.
He ripped me.
Dig it.
He stole from me.
Yeah.
He's copied me.
I think a lot of people did that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did it. Well, you know, I mean, I always say stuff and you guys don't believe me, but.
It's not that I don't believe you. I don't think I've ever questioned your history with music.
Yeah, okay, good, good. But I did this song 10
years ago. And you said, you guys, I believe everything you say, Michael.
Good, you should. Because I recorded this song. Let me finish talking. Let me finish bragging. Shut up. I have to be somebody.
Let me tell you, kids. Well, back in the
I
day,
recorded a version of this song 10 years before he did.
To walk uphill both.
That's in the same style. Like,
slow,
he did it
both ways.
In this, like, he definitely heard our version of it. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. So,
okay, no, that's some. Yeah. You know, I.
This
think,
is my version of it. This is my version. Yeah.
I used to be somebody.
Yeah. So this is 1991. Me doing this song. His version is in 2004. I did it in 1990, actually. We recorded this in Germany, in Berlin, in a studio the size of my bedroom, and it was freezing. We were wearing gloves between takes. Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds pleasant.
It was. It was Munich, actually, not Berlin. Sorry. If you remember the 1990 bomb tour of Europe, you probably were there, or weren't there. There were drugs and alcohol involved.
Reach out, touch face.
So yeah.
Yes, I do like this version.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, it's a lot more kick butt than the original. And then Marilyn Manson, I think he heard this and then did it better. I mean, did it more kick butt, let's put it that way. I like Johnny Cash's version of the song.
That's good.
Amazing. Let's play all the covers of the song for the rest of the show.
There you go. Gonna round things out nicely.
Yeah. So Alpha Centauri is a planet.
Well,
and we're going to go there with over the radio waves.
Alpha Centauri is actually a star. Sorry, it's a star.
Yeah, but there's planets there.
There's a planet.
So why
it's
is
an Earth-like
news?
Planet.
I mean, didn't they find an Earth-like planet there years ago? I've been talking about it for years.
Let's see, two now.
And we doubled our chances.
They thought they had found one back in 2012, and it was declared to be the closest exoplanet to Earth. Unfortunately, nice. Subsequent analysis cast doubt on its existence, claiming it was a spurious artifact of the data analysis.
Somebody
spurious.
Forgot to clean their telescope.
Yeah. Or something, like right? That.
That's funny.
Personal.
A bug ran into it.
Critters down your drain.
Someone to hear your prayer. Someone who cares.
But yeah, so this is a new thing. Yeah.
Your own.
And it's orbiting Proxima Centauri.
Jesus.
So. And it's in the Goldilocks zone, which means the habitable
someone
zone. It's the correct distance
prayer.
From the,
someone
the star. And it's got water. Probably got water. They don't know for sure. Probably has water.
Probably.
You kind of need water for life.
Possibly.
Well, at least the kind of life that we know about.
All alone.
We, meaning not the editorial we, but
the editorial we.
I'll make you a believer.
Oh, that was funny.
I know. We didn't talk about that. That would have been. We should talk about that.
Oh,
last segment.
You need to confess.
We're still on that.
I will deliver. You know I'm a forgiver.
Well, so what? I don't understand the fascination of trying to find out these other planets.
Reach out and like, touch fate.
Are people going to leave? I mean, that'd be good.
I know.
People are going to jump ship to go to another planet. I'll be throwing a party for everybody.
I know.
Sayonara, folks.
I know.
I'll hang out here. I'll be fine.
So long. Thanks for all the fish.
I'll
No, dolphins can stay. Like, all the douchebags can leave.
Personal. Jesus.
Yeah, I'll write it out here. Thanks.
Someone to hear your prayers. Someone to care.
That's all you need to do is go, you know, flying through space, something happens, you get thrown off course, you know.
And you might sweat in your helmet too much.
Well, exactly. See? These are things I need to think about.
Flesh and bone by the telephone.
Well, they say, you know, you lose all your heat through your head, right? So, essentially.
What can eat through your head?
Not eat through your head.
What? Johnny Cash can eat through your head.
Yeah. Last night, he might have been able to. That's quite possible.
Reach out and touch faith.
I did not listen to Johnny Cash, so I was more in a Rusted Root mood last night.
Oh, nice.
Is that the band that sounds like the Dead?
Not really. They're kind of, I don't know. I don't really know how to describe them.
They're a little more funky.
Yeah. And, but listening to all of those albums for hours was quite entertaining.
I don't know what that is. So, are you guys fans of the government? Are you guys fans of the government? Why not?
I'm personally not, no.
Explain it for people who don't know.
Well,
the government has a monopoly on force, for one thing.
Or quote-unquote legitimate force.
Yeah. Because in America, you know, people can have guns and go kill people, but they'll go to prison. Whereas cops can kill people almost with impunity.
Yep.
Did you guys see that thing that was going viral about the guy from San Francisco that was on vacation with his young daughter, like, you know, under 10, and got pulled over in Arizona, outside of Phoenix, for no reason at all. No taillight, no taillight out, no speeding. And the cop ended up, like, the guy couldn't roll his window down. It was broken. And he's trying to, like, tell the cop that through the window. And the cop pulled his gun out and pointed it at the guy and at the little girl.
Oh, God, no. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah,
of course you didn't. He's white. My sweetest.
No, I did. I did, actually. I didn't.
The guy, not the cop. The cop's probably white, too.
Goes away. More than likely, yes. So.
Oh, the car was stolen. God just whispered in our ear. I think it was Johnny Cash's ghost. Just whispered in our ear.
Thank you, God.
This is one of my favorite covers of his.
Yeah, it's Johnny Cash doing a Nine Inch Nails song.
Yeah. Love this song.
It makes me cry.
It's a sad song, man.
It really is. It was right before he died, and it's like after his wife died. And the video is like pictures of his house and him alone eating dinner after his wife died. And
yeah.
It's really sad. And it's like his whole life in one chair.
Full of broken thoughts. I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feeling disappear. You are someone else. I'm still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend.
That was Weiss alive. She's in this.
Everyone I know.
We're back with redemption in the third act. I'll stop crying my eyes out.
Stop crying.
I will.
Pull it together, man.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
Aggression.
groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon. Your house is your property.
Hose-noozled, wow. Really quick. You guys know what that is?
You just what?
Hose-noozled. That's what I call it. It's
Hose-noozled?
It helps with allergies. It's where you, like, take distilled water and put it in a bottle and heat it for 30 seconds and then put salt in it and then, like, shove it up your nose till it comes out the other nostril.
Oh, like a neti pot. Yeah.
Yeah, but neti pots... This is like a higher tech version, like a, you know, I don't know, neti pots. People end up getting brain parasites, but I don't know why.
So it's I don't the either. Water they use.
Yeah, you have to use distilled water.
Yeah, exactly.
And then in the end, it's family and friends.
What in the world?
Loving yourself.
You know how sometimes there's songs that are like better than, like parody songs that are better than what they're parodying, like Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
You know? This is called Beautiful Ride by Dewey Cox from the movie.
Dewey Cox, that's right.
Who's a fictitious like amalgamation of like Johnny Cash, Bob Dylan, Brian Wilson.
Oh, yeah, because he changes. Like
Elvis Presley.
His persona kind of changes throughout the movie. Yeah.
And at the end, he's basically Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
And this is the song he plays at the award ceremony. It's a crap.
As I stand on the precipice,
beautiful song.
My perspective is enormous.
And it's a comedy movie, but it's got great music, though.
I see the hands which are full. Some days.
And this singing backup on this is like Lyle Lovett and Jewel. Because this is like, you know, him at the award, like being honored from Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Ghostface Killer has a line in this, too. Because that's what they do at, like, award ceremonies, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So you want to talk about the mouse in your pocket?
The mouse in your pocket. Oh, my goodness. I laughed so hard when I read this. We get kind of crap for saying we around here because, you know, it's like we're individuals and, you know, so it's like if you're going to say something, say, you know, I or, you know, whatever, but not we.
Generally, when people say we.
We is collectivist.
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah. It's not only collectivist, it's collectivist violence, in my opinion, because a lot of times people say, you know what we need to do is we need to, like, make it the death penalty for driving without an expired license. Or even like vaguer than that, like we really need to address the problem of homelessness. Like basically they're saying the government needs to point guns at people and steal a bunch of stuff and make this happen when people say we.
Right. And they're including everybody. Well, probably when they say we, they mean the state or they mean the government to do these things. But this is from the quote investigator, and it's investigating the origins of quotations. And so here's a saying is that only monarchs, editors, and people with tapeworms have the right to use the editorial we.
Tapeworms. That's funny.
And it goes on.
Multiple personalities.
Yeah. Yeah. It does say that, too. And at one point, the linguist Ben Zimmer wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal. Let's see. When does it say that he wrote it? It doesn't. In 1877, maybe? Okay, so it says that the rationale to justify the use of the pronoun we, including these, a person with a mouse in his or her pocket.
Yeah, I didn't make it up. I just use it for, I just use it a lot. I think I use it a little differently than people somehow, but, I just use it on my friends when they're talking about themselves. So I guess I don't use it any different than it's used, but no. I really like using it.
Yeah. But then it's also like a person with a tapeworm or a pregnant woman or a schizophrenic individual.
How does a pregnant woman really know what her unborn baby wants, though? You know? Like, and the tapeworm. And the split person. The split personality you can make an argument for, maybe. But, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. So that quote's been attributed to a lot of different people. Mark Twain included, Henry David Thoreau, Bill Nye. I thought this was kind of funny because there was actually a humorist named Bill Nye. His actual name was Edgar Wilson Nye.
You mean the scientist or
not
someone?
Not the science guy, no. A dude from like the 1800s.
There's nothing original about Bill Nye. He's not a scientist.
He's a science guy.
He's a science guy.
He's a socialist.
I mean, the Mythbusters are more scientists than him. And they're right. Barely scientists.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I love the Mythbuster guys. Yeah.
They play firearms too.
Well, oh, like 1907.
They always have to have government supervision on the Mythbusters. I don't like that.
Ugh.
I guess that's for insurance purposes, but, you know.
Right. Government. Yuck.
Government.
Yuck. Ew.
Stinky poo. It's embarrassing that people vote.
Yeah,
seriously, yo.
Yeah.
Have some pride, people.
I know, it makes me cringe.
Have some pride.